Welcome to the jungle. Hope you're having a good day. I am Jim Rome. We start our third and final hour. We are broadcasting from Southern California in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. We are open until 40 past. Alfonso McKinney of the Golden State Warriors joins me then, 11:40 Pacific time. In the meantime, you can get through 1-800-636-8686. Good Thursday night matchup tonight, Pittsburgh and Carolina. Le'Veon Bell not going to play in that game, obviously. And now we're down to our last deadline for him next Tuesday. Although I've got a feeling that it won't be our last deadline. Because every time there's a last deadline, there's another deadline. And now we've gotten to the point of upside down tweets. That's how over this I am. Now we have to tweet upside down. And the reason we've got to tweet upside down, or he has to, is because there's nothing new to be said. Boring. Never thought that I would say one of the most entertaining guys in the NFL is boring. Really boring. Not interesting. Not intriguing. Boring. And if Le'Veon himself isn't, the situation is. And apparently one of his teammates, an anonymous teammate, told the NFL Network, make up your mind already. It's a cloud over the team. Even that's not interesting anymore. It would have been earlier in the season, but not anymore. Alfonso McKinney coming up at 40 past. Let me change up and talk a little baseball. Actually, some quick reaction to the sound bites I had from Gary Payton. This tweet says, Gary is the man, favorite episode by far. Glad my parents named me after the glove. So they named him after Gary Payton. He said his favorite episode. I'm going to say top five for sure. Maybe top three. And maybe, depending on your point of view, it might have been the best. Listen to it and find out. Jeremy Lanza tweets, holy bleep. That Kawhi Laugh remix is outstanding. Please open the show tomorrow with it. Or I could just do it one more time right here.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
Alvin's a genius, but he does not get credit for that. That's not ours. Render NBA Twitter came up with that. That is really funny. This says, hey, Rome, even we can't believe how much Gary Payton talked during the game. Sincerely, wives. Who do you think sent that? There's only one guy on this show that would send that email. Hey, Rome, even we can't believe how much Gary Payton talked during the game. Signed, wives. Lee in Vancouver. Hey, Rome. I listened to the Goggins interview a while back, and I used it as motivation to help me win the Baton Death March heavy division. I can't get through Hawk to get on the show. I had a sweet story about David Faraday. Hawk sucks. Signed, Andrew in Albuquerque. Wore Pac-Man Fever from 2008.
I got a pocket full of hundreds and I'm headed to the strip club. Dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan. Jerry Jones hired me a nanny because he knows that I'm a thug. Dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan. My nanny bodyguard started talking back to my girl. He went to the bathroom and that's when he got floored. Because I got Pac-Man fever, Pac-Man fever. I'm a thug and I'm crazy. Thug and I'm crazy. Pac-Man fever, Pac-Man fever. It's driving me crazy. It's driving me crazy. No charges were filed, but the commissioner just found out. I used my last chance, so I won't get a chance to bow out. Because I got Pac-Man fever, Pac-Man fever. I'm toast. I'm toast. I just got
I let that guy go pretty far, didn't I? 2008, there were not a ton of parodies on the program, much less written like that. That was so when Andrew in Albuquerque wore his Pac-Man fever from 2008, that's what he was talking about. He's got his own chorus. He's got his own musical accompaniment. Couple of verses. Melody, harmony. 2008, that guy was way ahead of his time. Dropping a Pac-Man fever song in 2008. All right. Again, you clones, the things you pull. When you've done the thing, like I've done this thing for like 30 years, there's a lot to pull from. All right, so MLB's offseason technically got started this week with the annual GM meetings that were just down the coast in Carlsbad. But the fact is, the hot stove does not really get cranking until super agent Scott Boras shows up and he holds court. Other than maybe Drew Rosenhaus back in the day, nobody, no agent, can do a media scrum like Scott Boras. You throw a mic in this guy's face, and you better get ready with the hazmat suit because the lava is going to flow. Now, if you thought the dude representing Bryce Harper in his offseason quest to make him the first $1 trillion baseball player, if you thought Scott Boras was going to slow roll his way into the offseason, then you do not know Scott Boras, because yesterday he was living his very best life. The man who glossed the Marlins, the pawn shop, last offseason, had a little something for everybody. He went back at Jeet's crew, pointing out that they drew fewer fans than LSU's baseball team. And that's not hyperbole, that's a fact. LSU's college baseball team did, in fact, outdraw Miami's Major League Baseball team. Hit that one with some Purell, Jeets. He also took a run at the Mets and his former rival, Brody Van Wagenen. He claimed that he's never spoken to BVW and that he's not about to now. Then he did what Scott Boras does. He clowned the Mets for being cheap. He also called out teams that tank, saying that they're wrecking baseball, and blame them for the downturn in attendance. But all of that, of course, was merely an appetizer, an hors d'oeuvre for the main course, because he was there to open the bidding on his star client. And he did so with a legendary quote. Jeff Passan had it. Quote, this is Scott Boras talking about Bryce Harper. Quote, certainly Harper's bazaar has begun. It's fashionable. It's historical. It's elite. Global, certainly, and certainly it has inspirations that deal with great shoes and great hair, end quote. I mean, my man, are you selling a corner outfielder or a Rembrandt? Harper's Bazaar has begun. I'm sure comparing your star client to a women's fashion magazine is next level and very relatable to everybody. I mean, that quote is an all-timer. Fashionable, historical, elite. We're talking about Bryce Harper, right? The dude who won the home run derby with his yoked up old man pitching and then celebrated like he went Joe Carter at the World Series. Because it sounds like we're talking about a couple of oil paintings that got ripped off the wall in the Gardner heist. I understand you got to sell. And if you're an agent, this is what you do. You are a salesman. He's selling a $350 million piece of art. So it's going to require a certain amount of salesmanship, showmanship, promotion. And on top of that, understand this. There's going to be some pressure involved. If you've already turned down $300 million over 10 years, you have to have a better offer than that. How would you like to go back to your client after you told him, now don't take that. Don't take $300 million on the table. Don't pick that up. Leave it there. You better have a better offer. You cannot go back to your client after you don't have that, because that offer apparently is no longer there. But he didn't just fill up a bunch of reporters' notebooks. He then went on MLB Network Radio, and he all but called his client an all-time great. Maybe the best to ever do it.
The point is, he can help his team in many ways as they create the best possible roster during the course of a long period of time. That's the advantage of having a slugger who is an elite athlete, because, and what I identify sluggers, you're getting into the a player that has had an 1100 OPS. Well, how often does that happen? Well, I think it happened once in the 70s, and it did not happen in the 80s, and since 2010, we've only had one player in baseball get to that. That's a slugger. That's somebody who has really distinguished himself among all other major league players. And also he has the feet, the hands, the skill, and the ability to adapt to a position where he can play the outfield and play first base, certainly. Now, do you want to do that for your team? It may be best for your team. Most probably not. I don't think the elite athlete makes those decisions. I just think that he has the capacity to do it and certainly is practiced at it, frankly.
I don't know about you. If I've got somebody representing me, I want that guy representing me. I want somebody saying things like that about me. I mean, literally, he's talking about this guy like he's better than Babe Ruth. I'm not saying that Harper's not a star because he is one and he should be paid like one. What I'm saying is Scott Boras is working really, really hard when he's talking up his client's global reach, his shoe closet, and his first bow at Hall of Fame lettuce. I mean, is this a baseball player or some spinoff to Sex and the City? Bottom line, if you're trying to drum up a bidding war for Bryce Harper, and the Yankees and the Red Sox already look like they're set at their corner outfield spots, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what it takes. Sell a dude who's had a 100 RBI season, a grand total of once in his career. Man, just sell that guy like he is Babe Ruth, only better. And also ignore the fact that he's coming off a career high in strikeouts. He needed to go on a late season heater just to get to 240 for the year. And just keep reminding people that he's got crazy locks and cool kicks. And then you hope like hell that the Nats add $30 million, even if they're competing with nobody or somebody, and a couple of opt-outs to their offer. Because it would really be a shame to see Harper's Bazaar playing in that cinder block on the south side of Chicago for the White Sox. Gotta do better than that. Can't imagine seeing Harper's Bazaar there. Scott Boras is great theater. He's great entertainment. Now we have to see whether or not he can get a dollar over the $300 million that they said no to already. And if they can't get it from the Nats, and of course the Nats ripped that off the table, they're not going to leave that there. They don't want to be the stalking horse. They don't want to be used. Where is this guy going to end up, and is he worth that money? Would you give it to him? When the highlight of his season was winning Home Run Derby. 1-800-636-8686. Harper's Bazaar. Broncos have got some serious beef going. I have not mentioned this. Demaryius Thomas is still cracking back on the coach, on John Elway. And they're like, bro, turn the page. Believe me, the Broncos, the best thing they can do is beef with this guy publicly. It's getting us to look the other way, to look at something other than the train wreck, which is their team right now. And I do want to go back to the NBA. There were some tremendous, vicious throwdowns last night that I want to hit on. All that still ahead, and Golden State Warriors forward, Alphonso McKinney. I can keep rolling, but if you want in, give us a call right now. Building professionals, listen up. If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, Lumber Liquidators Pro Plus is the only partner that you'll need for all of your flooring needs. With special pro-only pricing and dedicated support, LL Pro Plus will help you get your flooring jobs done quickly and profitably. Are you worried about selection and availability? Do not be. Lumber Liquidators has over 150 million square feet of flooring with over 100,000 square feet in stock in most of their stores. And they stock professional-grade adhesives. In addition to that, underlayment, molding, tools, fasteners, grout, so you can get exactly what you need. If you're too busy to get that flooring yourself, they will deliver it right to your job. And with Pro Plus, you can even get a business line of credit. So put the LL Pro Plus flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales today. It's a great, great operation. lumberliquidators.com/prosales.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Just previewing your emails. They're getting worse as the show goes along, not better. If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and stay strong like Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil, 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It's tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Probably wondering whose email I'm not going to read. I'll give this guy the benefit of the doubt. The email that I'm not going to read is from Aaron in Omaha. You lose again, Aaron.
Omaha!
Omaha. All right, we're going to talk Warrior basketball coming up in the next segment. But in the meantime, let's talk some NBA generally. Like, last night was a night for throwing it down in the association. Rims rattling, dudes getting humiliated and posterized. All damn night. I mean, so many sweet jams. So little time. I can't get to all of them. That's how good of a night there was. But I can give you my top three. starting with Aaron Gordon and the Magic. Orlando gets a turnover. They start the break. The ball gets out to DJ Augustin, and then this happened.
Taken away again with Fournier. Stripping it. The lob for Gordon. Oh, he styles it up.
Check out Aaron Gordon.
That was not just a fast break dunk. That was not just a fast break alley-oop dunk. That was a fast break alley-oop with a mailman pose. Aaron Gordon in the throwback jersey, throwing it back to Karl Malone. Fast break, alley-oop, mailman style, so right. And my man damn near jumped over the backboard in the process. Nearly impaled himself on the backboard, he got up. Now, any other night, that's the jam of the entire night, but not last night. Last night, that was only good enough for number three. I'm not a list guy, but I'm running down the three best things I saw last night. Because in addition to that, that wins any other night. There was also Donovan Mitchell. Truth be told, Mitchell has not quite gotten off to the start that a lot of people expected, in part because he's been a bit banged up. But he was back last night, and he was back doing Donovan Mitchell things. Time running out in the first half. You think that maybe he might be lining up a nice jumper, maybe even a floater, to make sure he beats the clock. You might think that, and you'd be wrong. Because while Mitchell is outside the arc, he does take a step back, not to clear space for a three, but to get a running start for this.
They're competing at both ends. Oh, God. Oh! Climbing up and popping the rim! Here comes your play of the day tomorrow.
Unbelievable.
It would be. It would be the play of the day on any other day. He just threw down a dunk contest dunk to end the half. And that wasn't on one guy, that was on two dudes. So how do you do something like that? Well, according to Mitchell, it just happened. Quote, I just went up and it kind of just happened. I wanted to go right. To be honest with you, a lot of times those plays, you don't think, you just do. End quote. And he just did. And that would have been the play of the day on any other day. That's going to go down as one of the best dunks of the year, but it wasn't even the best dunk of the night. That was the undercard for the main event. In this corner, standing 6'10", weighing 240, from Gonzaga, representing Lithuania, Domantas Sabonis. In this corner, standing 7'0", weighing 250 pounds, from Kansas, representing Cameroon, Joel, the process, Embiid.
Just the process?
Sabonis v. Embiid. The Pacers have the ball. Heavyweight showdown. Middle of the ring. Let's see what happens. Roll it.
Little pick and roll. Oh! He caught a body, and it was Embiid at the other end.
Holy bleep. Sabonis with authority. Throw it down, big man. On the even bigger man. If you still think of Sabonis as the son of Arvidas, you could not be more wrong. He is way more than just the son of a legend. He's got game of his own. He's got game of his own, and he can get up to get down. Run it back one more time.
Little pick and roll. Oh! He caught a body, and it was Embiid at the other end.
If you've seen that dunk, or you're watching right now on CBS Sports Network, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you have not, let me tell you this. The best part of the dunk might not be the dunk. The best part of the dunk might have been the reaction from Pacers big man, Miles Turner. He puts his hands on his head like he just saw something shocking. Because he did. And if you're waiting for me to clown Joel for getting dunked on, you can keep waiting. Because that's a part of the game. Now, I will clown a guy for ducking out of the way. But if you're going to go up and contest dunks, every single night, you will get dunked on. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. There's no shame in it. I mean, yeah, it's a drag, but there's no shame. There's shame in not trying. There's shame in ducking out of it, but there is no shame in getting dunked on. The shame is in avoiding, trying to avoid being a trending topic. But there's no shame in trying to stop somebody and getting dunked on. That'll happen. It has nothing to do with your ability or lack thereof as a player. Sabonis got up. Embiid went up. Sabonis threw down. There could only be one winner in that situation. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. Sabonis was the winner. But when you think about that, everybody who saw that actually won. Now, did Sabonis push off? Maybe. Probably. doesn't matter. As for my dude Joel, for every time that happens to him, he is going to do it to somebody else 100 times. Again, we all win. Especially if we're talking as much about the association as we are in November. We all win. I do trust the process. That's part of the process. You go up to contest a dunk, you're going to get dunked on.
Oh, he caught a body.
It's good stuff. On Twitter, quickly, Jeremy and Scotty. Boris is a perpetrator of rat-finkism, and I support Larry Bonds. Yours, Don King.
What do you think about Jose Canseco ratting out other guys?
Well, he's a practitioner of rat-finkism, so it's sensationalism, and people like to get sensational news. But I support Larry Bonds.
Don King on this show back then was like, almost like the elk of the show. Don King, when he was in his heyday and promoting fights and saying things like that, used to come on the show all the time. Jose Canseco is a practitioner in rat-finkism.
Ratting out other guys.
Well, he's a practitioner of rat-finkism, so it's sensationalism, and people like to get sensational news. But I support Larry Bonds.
At TFP Will Eat, Larry Bonds. He glossed him Larry. TFP Will Eat tweets, what's wrong with Scott Boras hyping Bryce Harper's appearance instead of his talent? Regards, Lyle Bland.
Basically, just like Hollywood, it's an honor to be here. You caught me in a little bit of a malted hop frenzy, but it's great to be here at Wrigley Stadium.
Yeah! Lyle Brand. He had not worked here very long before he lobbed me a telephone call from a Cubs game. Blasted. Blasted. All right, quickly, let's go to Arizona. Michael, nice to have you on the show. Michael, how are you?
Hey, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on. Number one, kudos to you for the starting your show, reminding people about the tragedy in Thousand Oaks. Second, kudos to Hawk for beating the system. And third, it's interesting with Scott Boras, because instead of hitting all these teams and criticizing them, you know, he might want to hit the gym. You saw those pictures yesterday. It looked like he had eaten Bryce Harper instead of representing him. The other thing is with Bryce Harper is, I mean, the fact is the guy had a lousy season. If it was for the first half of the year, he couldn't even get above 250. And I think he ended the year at 249. So, you know, to expect he's going to get $350 million, I think is ridiculous. That's it, Jim. Take care. Thanks.
All right, Michael, you take care. Thank you very much. Michael, you know better, right? Personal appearance is not show fodder. So what Scott Boras looks like is neither here nor there. Even if you think that, he ate Bryce Harper. And when you say that it's kind of ridiculous to think that he'll get $350 million, he may or may not. But, man, they had the stones to say no to $300, right? I can't imagine he's going to say no to $300. You're not going to accept the first offer. That's a given. And the Nats felt like they made a really aggressive offer. But you're not going to say yes to the first one. But if he said no to $300, believe me, he thinks he's got more someplace else or there. We're going to find out. And like I said, you don't want to urge your client to say no to $300 unless you have more than $300. And that $300 apparently is off the table right now. No, it's true, though. We're talking about a guy, a star. I mean, a straight-up star. And, I mean, Scott Boras has done this a long, long time. Say what you want about him. Say what you want about how he looks. This guy's brilliant at what he does. And he's assembled a brilliant team. They've done this a long, long time and have done some of the biggest deals in the history of the sport. You've got Bryce Harper coming clear in the prime of his career, arguably a transcendent star, and a guy who's looking at 300, 325. Don't think for a second that Boras is not going to do everything he can to get the biggest contract ever for that client. Again, a star coming free and clear in the prime of his career, but coming off a substandard year. But he's 26. This is not a pitcher who's 30 or 31 or even 32 who's logged a lot of innings. This is a corner outfielder who is 26. And a six-time All-Star. But who hit 240-plus last year. All right, when we come back, Golden State Warriors forward Alphonso McKinney joins us. On the other side of that, maybe a telephone call or two. It's possible. go ahead and hit us up. 1-800-636-8686. I've got a bottom of the hour sports update for you. It's been a really busy Thursday. If you're just joining us, here is the very latest. Darwin. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. One last segment, and this is an amazing story. And many of you may know it. Some of you do not. We're joined right now by a forward for the Golden State Warriors. He had 14 points in Monday's win over Memphis. He is averaging 11 points and 22 minutes per game in the last five games. A former member of the East Side Pirates in Luxembourg. He was undrafted out of Green Bay. Golden State's 10-1. They're in first place in the Pacific. They're at home tonight against Milwaukee, a 10:30 p.m. Eastern game. Alonzo McKinney is my guest. Alfonso, great to have you on the show, Alfonso. How are you?
Man, thanks, Jim, for having me.
Dude, it is so great. It is so good to have you. I was so anxious to talk to you. So you're coming off a 14-point game on Monday night, Alfonso, but you are the biggest story right now on the Golden State Warriors. Considering where you started, what is your life like right now?
Considering from where I started, my life, you know, it did a whole 360 pretty much. Just being in Luxembourg and being in the Bay Area right now, you know, it's a complete, you know, complete difference.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about Luxembourg in a minute, but I think for people to really understand this, Alfonso, we go all the way back. You were not highly recruited coming out of Marshall High School in Chicago. As you yourself have said, you know, you kind of viewed yourself as a role player. As you look back, you did whatever you could to help the team. What were you thinking about in terms of your basketball future? Was the NBA even on your radar coming out of high school?
Coming out of high school, not. It's something that I always wanted to do, but, you know, at the same time, like, I knew, like, that I wasn't highly recruited to those big, you know, big time colleges, you know, where most guys come out, you know, 1 year and, you know, go to the NBA. But it was still a goal of mine and, you know, a dream of mine, but, you know, at the time it was just, you know, me trying to focus on going into, you know, my freshman year of college and just trying to, you know, adjust to that new situation.
Alfonso McKinney joining us. So what happens is you end up going to Eastern Illinois, and you didn't play a ton your first year, and then you start to put up numbers in your second year, and then you transfer to Wisconsin Green Bay. How did that come to be?
The whole Green Bay situation came about. My coach at Eastern, he ended up getting laid off, and I thought it would be a good move for me to go to another school, and Wisconsin Green Bay was. You know, it was one of my first choices. My best friend went there, and, like, the guy who recruited me to Eastern Illinois, he had actually got a job at Wisconsin Green Bay. So it's kind of like I had ties there already. And, you know, I just thought it was the best opportunity for me. And, you know, I went on a visit, and, you know, as soon as I got there, I pretty much committed.
Right, so you obviously liked what you saw. Then you get there, and during your redshirt season, you tore your meniscus. You work your way back. Then in a Midnight Madness dunk contest, you tear it again. I mean, so we got some serious adversity. What was that time like physically and emotionally after you tore it again?
It was a tough time for me, you know, especially coming off a redshirt year where, we had a good team that year, and I definitely thought I could have contributed, but, you know, it was my redshirt year, couldn't play. And, I had worked that whole year, and, you know, going into that next year, you know, I was set to have, you know, a big role on the team. A couple guys had graduated, and I was stepping into a spot where I would get a lot of minutes. And, me tearing my meniscus the second time, it was a major setback because it was nothing like the first time. The first time, you know, I was back in maybe like 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. But the second time, you know, it went from being a 4 to 6 week recovery to a 6 to 8, 8 to 12, and so on and so on. And he's gonna come back whenever he's ready to come back. And you know, that whole year pretty much I wasn't, you know, wasn't 100%. But we had a good team that year, and I thought we was gonna make the tournament. So, you know, I kind of just pushed myself to get out there and just play, you know, even on a 65% knee. And you know, we end up coming short of the tournament, but, it was just all about getting back out there and just trying to get a feel for everything.
Golden State Warrior Alfonso McKinney is joining us. So you finally get back out there, and then right around your senior year, you start to feel like yourself once again, and you're starting to put up some numbers, but then it comes time to put your name in for the draft or go to workouts, and at that point it didn't seem like it was the right thing. So you go to a couple of EuroLeague camps in Las Vegas, and then a coach from Luxembourg reaches out to you. What were you thinking? For example, did you know anything about Luxembourg at that point or Luxembourg basketball?
I knew nothing about Luxembourg.
Right.
I actually, when I first heard the name Luxembourg, I mean, I went straight to Google and I Googled it and, found out where it was at and just, you know, looked on Eurobasket and stuff like that, like trying to see things about the league. But, you know, it wasn't a lot. But at the time, I mean, it was my only opportunity. So, you know, I just took it.
All right. So you get over there and I've seen some of your highlights from there. It does not look a lot like the NBA. Dude, how would you describe the courts and the arenas where you played?
Oh, man, the courts, first off, is nothing like the NBA. But, you know, some courts were like, you know, typical hardwood floors. But then there was some courts, it was kind of like, I want to say it felt like concrete to me. And the gym where we played at the most, you know, it had that green, it was a green court. The floor was hard, you know, the rims were, you know, a little shaky. But, you know, a lot of those gyms wasn't it.
Alfonso McKinney is joining us. Golden State Warriors having a huge year. The thing is, though, regardless of the conditions, you were showing up huge. In your first game, you had 20 in the first half. There were a couple of Americans on the other team. What did they make of your game?
To be honest, you know, my first game we played the team in our division. They were like number one, you know, they projected to win like our league or whatever. And, you know, our first game we played, I remember being on the free throw line and one of the other Americans was like, he just asked me like, man, like, why are you here? Like you said, I had like 20 the first half and then I think I ended up finishing with like 30 something. But, you know, different teams, you know, the Americans would ask me that same question. Like, why are you here? And I'm just like, you know, it's the only thing I've had. So, you know, I really just made the most of it.
You did. And the thing is, though, some of these other guys you played with, they had day jobs, right? So, like, one guy was a police officer. Another guy worked at the airport. Some worked for the government. So what were they like as players?
As players, they were much different from me. You know, I played basketball because it's, you know, it's how I make money and stuff like that. But those guys, you know, they just did it, I feel like, for, you know, recreation. And, you know, there's a big difference, you know, between them and me. You know, they was doing it for fun. You know, they didn't really have to be there. You know, some guys wouldn't make practices. A lot of practices we weren't able to run, like, 5-on-5s because everybody wasn't there. Like I said, a lot of dudes had day jobs and, you know, they'd get done with work and, you know, for them, you know, coming to practice and stuff like that, it was just, you know, like extra recreation and cardio and stuff like that. But, you know, for me, it was my life, so.
That was real. Golden State Warriors small forward Alfonso McKinney joining us. So you battle, man. You grind and you work, and then you make it back to the States in 2016, and then you go to Mexico to play. What was the experience like there?
I actually like Mexico, besides playing 4 games a week.
Right.
Double back-to-backs, you know, that was tough. But I actually had a good time in Mexico. I was on a good team in that league. When I actually came in, you know, they were number one. And, you know, we finished number one. And ended up going all the way to the finals and, you know, lost in, like, game 6 of the finals. But just that overall experience was great. Met a lot of people. You know, got to see Mexico a little bit. Never had been to Mexico. Got to see different parts of Mexico, and it was a great experience.
All right, so and I'm moving ahead because there's so much to this, but you come back to Chicago and you get a call to see if you can come run with some of the Bulls players at an open gym, and you've got a moment in one of the open gyms where, as you told The Athletic, quote, almost dunked the bleep out of Robin Lopez. What do you remember about that moment, Alfonso? How big was that for you?
I got that call just you know, Coach Randy Brown had called me and asked would I be able to come to the gym. And, you know, I kind of just woke up and just walked right out the house and went there. It wasn't too far from me. And, I had an open run with them and just was playing. And it was like one play I almost dunked. the Lopez guy from Chicago, and like everybody went crazy. And I mean, I looked up, and you know, I was coming back every day, you know, for like a month, you know, working out with those guys. Unfortunately, I just wasn't able to make the training camp roster with them. But you know, it was the first year they were gonna have a D League team, and you know, they invited me to, you know, come to trials and all that stuff. And you know, I ended up making the Windy City Bulls team, and you know, I had a great year with them.
All right, so you make it to the D League, and let me just jump ahead again. You're playing for my guy Jerry Stackhouse in the D League. Man, I love Stack. What did you learn from Stack?
Stackhouse, that's my guy.
Yeah, right. What was he like to play for? What did you learn from him?
Well, Stackhouse taught me a lot, you know, on the defensive end. You know, most of my career, I was playing, you know, playing the big guy because you know I was always one of the taller guys on the team, and you know, I was always forced to play like the four. I even played the five a little bit in the G League. But, yeah, you know, going to Toronto, you know, I was, you know, transitioning into being a three and playing on the wing, you know, most of my time. And, you know, Stackhouse helped me a lot, you know, transitioning from, you know, guarding big guys to, you know, being able to guard, you know, smaller guys. And, you know, just teaching me the defensive rotations and, you know, just how to get things done on the defensive end. And, you know, helped me out on my game a little bit on the offensive end as well.
Alphonso McKinney joining me for a couple more moments. I mean, so you get that opportunity, and then you make it to the NBA. You play for the Raptors. You get to camp with Golden State. And, again, I'm jumping ahead a little bit here. But then you make that team. But at the end of camp, you get a call that the coach wants to see you. Steve Kerr wants to see you. Generally, that's not the best news. What did you think when you heard that?
I mean, when they woke me up on the plane and said that he wanted to meet with me, I kind of, in my mind, it came through, you know, it's judgment time. So you never know. You know what the outcome going to be in those kind of situations until you know you actually hear what's going to happen. And you know, I went back there and sat, talked to him, and you know, he had let me know that you know, it was an open roster spot, and you know, I was gonna get it. And you know, at the moment, you know, I didn't really show it at the time, but in my mind, like, I was, you know, super excited, and I mean, couldn't believe it.
I got to ask you this then. It's one thing to make that team, but you come back home against Chicago, and the day starts by meeting with a realtor. You buy your mom a new house. Then you play that night. You hit four threes. You go 19-10 in a win in Chicago. How amazing a day was that?
Man, probably one of the best days of my life. You know, just being able to, you know, to sign off on those documents to get my mom a house is probably one of the, you know, one of the biggest things I've done. You know, people always ask guys when you get a bunch of money, like, what you gonna do first? And you know, my response was always, I'm gonna get my mom a house. And you know, I was able to do that a few weeks back. And you know, coming out on the court and doing that in front of, you know, all my family and friends, it was unbelievable, to be honest. But you know, everybody had fun that day, and everybody enjoyed it. We went out to eat after. Family got to meet some of the players, and you know, everybody enjoyed it.
It's an amazing day. It was not that long ago you were running with cops and airport workers in Luxembourg, and now you're playing with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Man, does it feel really surreal?
Hey, major upgrade, man.
Major upgrade. Golden State's 10-1. They're in first place in the Pacific. Alphonso McKinney, my guest. Alphonso, it's an amazing story. Great to meet you. Great to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me.
Appreciate you telling your story. It was almost an impossible story to cover even in one long segment. There was so much to that story. I want to thank everybody who made that happen. My man Alphonso himself. Raymond Ritter handled that one. Thanks, Ray, for everything. Brett Winkler, Michael Ravina, Cole Lawrence, Daryl Arata, the best in the business, Golden State. Ray Ritter, did I mention him? The best there ever was. Huge call brought to you by Fox. Cam Newton and the Panthers go up against Big Ben and the Steelers. Two teams with playoff aspirations dueling it out. Thursday Night Football, Panthers-Steelers tonight, 7:30 Eastern on Fox. Also live on NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video. Thanks to everybody involved today. We had Michael Malone way back in hour number one. Tevin Coleman, Alphonso McKinney, the XR4TI. If you haven't heard this week's podcast with Gary Payton, make sure you check that out. We'll come back, wrap the week tomorrow. See you then. We're out.